Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette digital edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Pinion Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher of the Gazette alongside Dick Briggs, ready to discuss college wrestling news over the last week. And boy, do we have a lot of it here going on. Big 10 and Big 12 seasons have begun. We're coming off the NWCA championships and a lot of news coming out of Iowa City here this week. We'll touch on all of it, including Iowa's performance. They got a big one with Penn State coming up, and then the news surrounding Musoma and Dean no longer being part of the Iowa program. We'll touch on the performances up at Cedar Falls here this last weekend briefly, but we're just going to let the conversation flow. How's that, Briggsy?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we'll jump right into it. Last Friday, Iowa hosted Wisconsin, came away with a 23-12 victory. Honestly, a real lackluster performance from Iowa. They needed their three big guys in the upper weights to come through at the end to really pull away from Wisconsin, which was this team that they should have really outclassed, to be honest with you. I know Wisconsin was unbeaten coming in, but I guess lackluster is the only term I really have. You know, they had matches that they kind of faded at the end. Tom Brands even kind of mentioned, you know, there are different reasons for faded, but you can't do that. You kind of acknowledge it happened. However, Caliendo, Kennedy, Ferrari, the three of them scored. This is what puts it in perspective. The first seven wrestlers scored 39 match points. Keeter got a decision, which was a good win for him. Let's not be too negative here. That was a very good win for Keeter coming back over Braxton Amos. Real nice reattack after an Amos shot in sudden victory and capitalized, and thought it was solid for him. Kill Peterson with a decision at 141. Jordan Williams with a decision at 157. Caliendo with a technical fall. Kennedy with a major decision. And Ferrari with a technical fall. They scored 54 points among the three of them, while the rest of the team scored 39. That tells you a lot about kind of how the overall team performance was. Wasn't that great. 23-12, not that great of a performance, considering the last three scored 14 of those points. And then they got Penn State this week. Top-ranked Penn State, who's blanked like their last three opponents, shut out Rutgers. To be honest with you, I think maybe two or three wins most for Iowa this week.
Well, let me back up to the Wisconsin. They were missing. When I made this out, they were missing Peterson at 25, so that's a factor. I also wrote that they were missing Andine, not knowing what was to transpire after that. So
yeah, we'll talk in length about that here in a sec.
Right, and actually, Ludington, who wrestled for him, lost 10-8 to the 28th ranked guy, you know. So, I mean, he's filling in and didn't do horrible, really, 10-8. He's in that match. And then of course, Ayala and Figgett. If I remember right, didn't they wrestle at Nationals last year?
The semifinals, yep.
Semifinals, I thought so. So that's, yep. I mean, that Figgett's not a slouch at all, you know. And Ayala's just been struggling. And quite honestly, that needs to be addressed. I mean, amongst the other things that are going on, guys on your team, that's one that needs to be refocused or something or other. I don't know. He's had some matches. I think he's lost three or four, hasn't he, this year?
Right now, Ayala's sitting at 4-4.
Four and four. So,
and that's, he has dropped out of the top 10 in Flo's rankings. He's number 11 in Flo's rankings.
I don't remember that, you know, him being that low probably for 2-3 years, maybe.
Right.
Seasons, anyway.
This is so, freshman year.
So, I mean, that's a concern right there. And then you hit it with Caliendo, Kennedy, and Ferrari. I wrote down the killer threesome. And, you know, ending the meet with those guys tells me that Wisconsin probably won the toss or whatever and got to choose or yep. however that decision-making goes. So they started at 97. So you don't get to throw your three, you know, your killer's row in there to get the momentum on your side sort of thing. So, you know, I didn't expect Wisconsin to score 12, and they did. And so that's good on their part. And you're right, lackluster on Iowa's part. So
and the concerning thing about the whole deal, I know you mentioned Ludington lost a close decision. It was the way they lost the matches.
Yeah.
So not what you expect out of Iowa, where you're getting outperformed in the third period. Mm-hmm. You saw that with Ludington, who gave up the only takedown in the third period, which ended up being the difference. Ayala, the exchange was really, really weird and so unlike him at the end of the third, where, you know, he was trying to ride out Fugit, wouldn't return him to the mat. And then when they got to the edge of the mat and grounded, he got called for stalling again. And then he ended up breaking his grip and giving up an escape, which at first I thought was a horrible call. But from everybody that I talked to that had like direct camera angles, they're like, no, he released. There's space. It was the right call. You know, and then Block kind of faded there too, which he's wrestled really well, real stingy here lately. So, yeah, it was certainly something that doesn't bode well heading into a week where they need to be firing on all cylinders against Penn State.
Right, and I, you know, when in college, when they start in the down position and the bottom wrestler gets to his feet, it all, you know, it boils down to, can you get the return within the first three, four seconds, you know? If not, you got to be cutting them. And here's Ayala, a seasoned wrestler, and it didn't look like there was any urgency in him cutting him or trying to return. And that was the surprise. And that's the one that ended up biting him in the behind on that one, because then he got the stall for a point when he dropped down below the waist and on that locked around the legs. So, yeah, that just wasn't very smart right there of him. But yeah, that's just, you know, and then to drop this bomb. So now this could rally the team, though. You know, you get a bomb like what was dropped yesterday, and now you know this could rally the team inside the room. So we'll see. But it's tough week to rally, man. Against.
So do you want to jump into this Endine thing, or do you want to knock kind of the Penn State lineup out really quick? Because I know from my own part, we're going to go down a lot of different avenues with this Endine thing, because I think I'm going to be on, tilt a little bit when it comes to a lot of different things.
I would say, let's finish it up and then quickly hit Iowa State, you and I, and then hit Endine.
Well, let's hit Endine before we get to you and I. And
Okay. Since we're on Iowa,
compartmentalize Iowa here. So I'll just say really quick, here are the probable lineups for this Friday. They wrestle at 6 o'clock at Carver. Dean Peterson is expected to be back at 125. You got Ayala at 33 again. You've got Bailey and Peterson listed both at 41. Block is in the lineup at 49. Williams and Voinovich the third, which I have to think Williams is starting to kind of separate himself a little bit there. Of course, you got Caliendo, you've got Kennedy and Arnold at 174, but we'll touch on Gabe here. They may need him somewhere else. Ferrari at 84, then you've got Ludington and Sampson at 197 with Indeed not being part of the team anymore, and then Keeter at heavyweight coming off that big win. Penn State, I mean, this lineup, they've had some killer lineups, and this one might be one of their best yet. Now they've got Brayden Davis out of redshirt coming in at 141 as well. That's a nice luxury to have when you lose somebody like Aaron Nagao and can plug in Brayden Davis in his place. But one, two, three, four top-ranked wrestlers, two more that are number two, a fourth, a sixth, an eighth, and then their heavyweight Cole Marisola, the lowest-ranked guy, at number 12, according to Flo, but as high as ninth from AWN. So I'll be honest, the only weights I really see them winning, 84. I could see Ferrari beating Welsh. The matchups for 65 and 74, I think they can be close. I just don't know if Caliendo and Kennedy can pull the upset. See Keeter being able to win at 285. And then maybe Ayala, if it's the Drake that we've seen in previous years, with a win over Blaze. If not, that's going to be a tough one to pull out. So those are the only three I really see them having a shot at.
Right. And I'll go this much further. Even if Iowa pulled off three upsets and won 6 out of 10 matches, I don't know if they could still win the meet because of the bonus points that they would be giving up in the other four. You know, and it's, I mean, I don't see Iowa winning six matches, but it, you know, that's how deep Penn State is. You know, I was just thinking as you're going through the probables, I was thinking, you know, the only team that might be able to compete against Penn State is their number two team.
I think Ohio State could give them a go.
Yeah, Ohio State for sure. Yep.
You know, but one of the things that's not going to help Iowa going forward, Masoma and Dean, Tom Brands opened up yesterday's media day announcing that Masoma and Dean is no longer part of the Iowa roster, hadn't wrestled. Now, a lot of people are pointing out, oh, hadn't wrestled since Iowa State, but they've only had two competitions since November 30th. They had the Uncivil War duels against Tennessee Chattanooga, Utah Valley, and then they had the Soldier Salute, which a lot of guys didn't wrestle in. So that's not really a good barometer to figure out what's going on with this whole situation because a lot of it's really unclear. There's a lot of stuff kind of going on and being bandied about. Anything from injuries and medical red shirts to NIL disagreements and everything in between. I don't think anybody knows exactly what's gone on except for the people directly involved. There's a lot of people that claim to know, and you know, a lot of bicycle game, I think, you know, from party to party. You know, I guess the one thing that that stands out is that nobody's willing to kind of come out and just address exactly why they're parting ways. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that would be something that would help clear a lot of this up. And people will say, well, it's none of your business. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's none of our business about, you know, covering it. in the first place. If, you know, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah. You know, you get situations that with other programs are pretty forthright, and they'll speak out and say what's going on, and they're not trying to hide anything, or, you know, and maybe there's a bit of protection going on there. I don't know. But if there is, you can still have a dialogue that maybe says something that alludes to that, other than just nothing, or this is what happened, now you can't ask any questions sort of thing. So, you know, that, you know, or if you do, they're not going to get answered. So I agree with you on that, KJ, that and it's not like it's the first time, you know, but it's been two or three times now. We saw this last summer with Gabe Arnold removed from the team, and really there was, you know, neither side mentioned anything about as to why. You know, so it's just everyone's left with big question marks, and I'm not sure that's fair to them. Yeah, it's probably personal, but at least give you know some indication, and not have, because there's so many directions going on, as you said. Yeah. And you know, and who's that? No, probably no one will ever know it, other than the parties involved. And right. You know, if you look at the Endine side, and this isn't the first time Endine walked away from a Division I program. So, you know, he was at Wisconsin briefly there, walked away. Then, you know, maybe he's not getting coddled, or maybe he wasn't pressured that much, or didn't have to work that hard at the D3 level. You know, so I don't know. There's all sorts of different things that could be happening on his end of it. And obviously I think there's a new baby involved in it as well. So,
you know, here's what we do know. I mean, here's an undisputable facts on the timeline. And Dean, when he was in the lineup, made an initial impact and was huge for Iowa, you know, through November. Wrestled at Iowa State, got beat by Rocky Elam, his only loss, which, you know, that's not, I don't think that has anything to do with it. However, there are some people have commented on the situation. If you go to Flow Wrestling, Christian Piles has laid out some things. Apparently there's a neck injury. You know, that's nothing like we've confirmed or anything, but he's reporting it. I trust him. That's why, I mean, that would explain why he didn't wrestle at the Uncivil War in the St. Louis area when they wrestled those two duels in December. Could be the reason why he wasn't at the Soldier Salute. And as you mentioned, you see on social media, he shared that you know, he has a newborn daughter now. And that just occurred. Originally, the due date, talking to him at the beginning of the season, if you check out the feature I did on him at thegazette.com, it was expected the weekend of Nebraska, so it came a little bit early. You know, you hope there's no complications or something that's causing undue stress personally like that, right? But if it came a little, if the birth came early, he could be dealing with stuff like that, and that changes a lot of perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, who's initiated it? I've heard both sides. It was him. It was the coaching staff. Again, don't know which side. A lot of times there are three sides to a story. There's one side, there's another side, and then there's the truth is the third side. And usually it includes a little bit of everything, right? So don't know who exactly initiated it. Maybe there's some personal things going on and he just couldn't finish out the season, and then it was parting ways. Or this is the avenue that you know, I think is going to eat up some time here that we're going to talk, because it can go 800 different directions. NIL. You know, that's my first impression. Something may have gone cattywampus on the whole NIL agreement. You know, having a new kid now, having an injury, having a good start, did he want more? You know, if he wasn't wrestling, did they not want to give him, you know, the NIL money? Maybe there is a disagreement with how that was taken care of, and they decided to part ways. Somebody wasn't happy and said, I'm done, or you're done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you throw a little bit of the injury in there and the possibility of a medical red shirt, and that's being thrown around that, you know, here's something with NIL that is going to need to get addressed. And we've seen it, and it's not just an Iowa thing, and it's not a wrestling thing. You've seen it in different sports, football, basketball. You see it all over, hiring a gun for a year, right? Bringing somebody for a stopgap for a year. What if this was a situation where, you know, maybe Dean is hurt, he's got the personal thing going on, I can't do the next semester because of being a new war father. Hey, I don't know about you. And I know there are people that have done it. When I wrestled at BV, I had a hard enough time doing schoolwork and being there at practice. I couldn't imagine throwing family and a kid in that situation at the same time. So maybe you decided, hey, I can't do it, but again, medical redshirt, I'll come back next year. And with, you know, remember the rosters are shortened. This year, they cut down roster sizes for programs. You know, maybe they're like, no, there is no coming back next year, buddy. You know, the deal was for this year. And then we've got Harvey Ludington that, you know, we're getting acclimated to college, and he's hitting the ground running next year because we told him when we recruit you, you redshirt your first year, bam, and you're our guy for the next 4 years. We're already tied up with him. So there is no next year. We're just going to have to cut ties, and, you know, good luck to you. And that's the NIL climate that we live in right now.
Right.
It really is, and that's what's killing college athletics, in my opinion.
Right, and then
because it's a business, it really is, and you have to be that shrewd. And it's not fair to athletes, it's not fair to coaches, but this is what everything has come to. Again, mm-hmm. just my opinion, but I think this might be, it could be, and I don't know. I don't have any. I'm just shooting from the hip on something like that and throwing it out as a possible scenario. You know, and I'm not putting blame on anybody. It's right. just, it's the climate we're in right now.
Right. And so, I mean, you look at that from all different directions. So you've got an athlete who's never had maybe money like that before, all of a sudden has money. So, I can't help but think of this. So the source of money for that baby is coming from wrestling, like most likely with Could that be. NIL. So it shouldn't be an issue there. But then, you know, here's a guy that is an incredibly great athlete, comes out his sophomore year, was it, in high school, and this is his first year of wrestling, and becomes, you know, a great wrestler in high school, a great wrestler in junior college, great wrestler in Division III, great wrestler in Division I. So here's a guy that might have been entitled throughout that. Coach is entitling him, you know, his family and friends around him are entitling him. And so maybe he gets to this point now where he's amongst others that are, you know, of equal level, and now the entitlement's maybe not there as much. So I mean, I'm looking at that. You look at the NIL, and you mentioned the athlete and the coaches, and what about the guys that are kicking in the money, those that are creating the money, providing the money for that NIL? They have no say in it, but they, other than to say, yes, we're going to continue to contribute to the NIL or not. So, you know, so the coach has to be protective in that respect. Yeah. And so there's all sorts of just ugliness. What isn't it? One of the seven sins is greed. Is that one? Yeah. So, I mean, well, is that part of it?
You bring up a point too. I know you said that the people in kicking in the money don't have a say, but indirectly, yeah, you can't have a business relationship where they don't somehow.
Right.
Where if they don't like something, they quit giving money.
Bingo.
Well, then you can't, you know, and again, we're not seeing anything specific to the situation. For me, it's generalization for sports across the board.
And that's speculation for me.
Yeah. People that write checks have say in one way or another. It may not be a direct say, but it could be, well, I don't like that. I'm not writing a check again. You know? Or, hey, I'd rather see this. I'll write you a check when this happens, you know, and you get people backed into a corner. Yep. And they may not be directly yielding power to somebody like that, but indirectly, you know, hey, we got to do this to be able to cash in here. The one thing with this situation, you know, one, you hope it works out for everybody involved. You know, it's just the weird timing of it. The lack of, you know, we even asked, you know, is there anything else you'd like to elaborate on? Nope. And I know other media members have reached out to Dean. I have not. Wouldn't even know how to without the, you know, the University of Iowa was the only go-to I had to reach out to him originally. But apparently he didn't want to elaborate on it either. So, you know, you're left with a lot of, you know, conjecture, I guess, as to what actually went down or how things transpired and who is the initiator in all this. It's just, you know, I'm directing it towards the system. This is a messed up system for college athletics. Yeah. I think name, image, and likeness was originally set up so people could actually use their own name, image, and likeness to be able to promote stuff that they're involved with, right? You're doing a camp, you want to advertise that you're doing a camp, but you can't use your picture and you can't use your name on the flyer. Well, yeah, you should be able to do that. This has kind of taken that and blown it way out of proportion now.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just an indictment on the system as a whole. I don't blame for athletes wanting to maximize it. I don't blame coaches for, you know, how they have to run the system, you know? And the reason why I say that is I don't think people understand the volatility of coaches' personal lives in the fact that there's somebody that I worked with whose son-in-law was a D1 basketball coach. And we always talked about, you're going to move there? He's like, no, I'm not moving down there with them. Because in a year, if he is successful, in a year or two, he could be moving somewhere else. And if he's not successful in a year or two, he could be moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily have a choice, and I'm not going to be chasing him all over the country. And coaches have to do what they have to do. So I'm not trying not to assess any blame on how things are handled. It's just the system leads to situations that if an athlete is unhappy, they can make certain choices. They can do certain things that puts a team in a hard spot. Coaching staffs can make decisions that's going to put an athlete in a tough situation. You know, so this is, I'm really having a hard time trying to really organize my thoughts on this because.
So many different directions.
There's so many things that could have transpired or maybe have transpired here that I don't think it's good for anybody in the long run, you know? Hopefully it does work out that way. And, you know, it's just, and it's weird timing, you know, right smack in the middle of the season, you know, the crossover from semester to semester, something that you only get in the winter because that's the only time sports crosses over into a second semester, right? You don't have to deal with that really with football, except for, bowl games are done before the second semester starts pretty much. Wrestling and basketball, really the only sports that are two semester sports. It's just crazy. And I know people are watching, probably not maybe expecting some definitive thing about what happened. The fact is we don't know. People are very tight-lipped. They're not sharing at the moment. Maybe it'll come out more later. You know, hopefully people, if they want to elaborate. And I don't know. Maybe is it our business? Are we in a situation where all we need to know is that they're parting ways? We don't need to know what Indeen is going to do or want to do. We don't need to know what the motivation was for coaches, if it was from them or what have you, you know?
Here's the situation.
That's another dilemma that you have to kind of look at as well.
Right. To answer your question, I think it is our business because we're fans. You know, we're fans of this. Now, the situation here in wrestling is this is a high-profile athlete. It's the fourth ranked, and he has been a great story coming from D3, building his way up to that number four ranking, and then walked away or is pushed away, whichever the case was. And so, you know, it's really magnified in our sport. Now, if you go to maybe football or basketball, you might have others, you know, probably do and have multiple incidences where this has happened. But because there's so many athletes out there and there's so many NIL people and so many scholarship athletes you just don't see it as much. But because, like I said, wrestling is it's amplified because the smaller pool, so to speak, in wrestling than what you have in those other sports.
That's
so
true.
It's ugly, and we knew this. We've discussed it on our podcast for the last 3 or 4 years, particularly on Briggs teeing it up, and we knew it was coming. But here it is, and it's not pretty. You know, I think they should go. They should run it like a business where you have incentives. If you're offered or promised this much money, don't just give it all in one chunk. And I don't know how it is. Maybe they do this already, but
I'll be totally honest. I don't know how that stuff is dispersed.
Yeah. So, you know, set it like a business. So you have incentives, you know, if you reach your goal of making it through the second, you know, for the first semester, you get so much, or, you know, if you get to, you know, through January, you get so much, you know, is it Caden Proctor that had come down and lump sum it twice on Iowa that were, you know, get promised NIL, take something.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway. So, you know, that sort of a thing. It's just like you'd mentioned, there's so many different directions and then the Dean story, I don't know that we'll ever get the right answer, and that's not fair to, you know, at least have some indication. I would hope that one side or the other would come up. And I don't want them pointing fingers at each other. I don't want that at all, but just to be a little more open with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. No, I totally agree. And that's the thing. You can go to social media and see all the different variations of what people are kind of alleging. And of course, a lot of those are, or some of them, you know, are, you know, unidentified accounts, right?
You know, anonymous.
Anonymous. Thank you. You know, my name, you know, if I'm saying something, I mean, my name's to it. You know, it's coming from me. And I'm telling you, I don't know. But you can go look that. I don't want to fuel the rumor mill because that's unfair to everybody involved. Mm-hmm. You know, I will just say, if it was somebody wanting more on their half, or maybe another program kind of offering, you know, something more to him if he took a medical red shirt and joining a different program next year, you know, that's wrong. You know, if it's somebody simply not being happy with, you know, oh, you're not going to be able to wrestle for me the rest of the semester, well, then hit the bricks. That's wrong too. You know, we don't know the exact situation, but you know, I guess I don't know what really I'm trying to say here, because we don't know what led to it. It just, depending on the motivation behind the decision and who actually made the decision, it just could be a bad indictment on the state of at college athletics,
to right. be honest. And we've seen it at the football level. Well, I'm sure we'll see it at the basketball level and likely the wrestling level, that you'll see coaches doing an exodus, that they're no longer interested in coaching because it's not about coaching. It's about basically running a business and, you know, and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some coaches down the line say, you know what, I'm done. I've had enough. I'm going to a different direction sort of thing. And I'm not indicating that would happen here, but
right.
Wouldn't be surprised. So,
you know, so now the, you know, you got to look at what Iowa does. You know, you just had the number four ranked guy in the country leave your lineup. And it's not necessarily a part in the lineup that you had a lot of functional depth, right? You have bodies. You have somebody that could step in and possibly fill that gap, but you don't have a lot of functional depth there. We mentioned Brody Sampson, former Ballard wrestler, and Harvey Ludington. He was a blue chipper coming out of New Jersey, true freshman. Sampson, a redshirt freshman. Yeah, both of them. Tom Brand said that they're going to be really, really smart with Ludington. You know, he's presumably the guy of the future. You're probably not going to win. You know, your best bet is maybe getting top four in a team trophy in Cleveland. Do you burn his red shirt just for a few points to maybe get a third place trophy or a fourth place trophy? You know, best case scenario, probably runner up if things fall your way. Or do you get him some experience and then go with somebody else? You've got Gabe Arnold, who cut down to 74. He wrestled 97 at the duels in December. Do you ask him to take one for the team and wrestle up two weight classes now which is probably a weight class where he's going to be, you know, undersized.
And so I'll answer your questions here. Yes, on Ludington, I think you used him sparingly and not burn his red shirt. What do you got? Three or four different times you can do that.
I think you can go up to five.
But he's already used one.
Two.
He's used
because
two.
The okay. Soldier salute. I think the soldier salute had to count as a attached.
Okay.
Competition. So I think they've got two.
Three remaining.
Before the sixth one. The sixth one is the decisive one that you're going.
Right. So three remaining. So you use him in those three wherever you can and you think he'll help. And I don't think he's going to, not this year anyway, be able to step up and become an All-American or even maybe even qualify for that matter. I mean, he's, you know, so, you know, next year, following year, yeah. But I don't know about this year. So now you go, ironically, it falls into the hands of Gabe Arnold, the guy that was removed from the team this summer. Talk about irony there, huh?
Right. Jeez.
So, anyway, and, you know, Gabe came back. So, you know, if I'm Gabe, I'm chomping at the bit to get on, like he's appeared to be doing,
right,
to get back into that lineup. And so I would think he would be very anxious to get into the lineup regularly. Yeah, he's going up two weights, but he's in the lineup. And there's something kind of freeing about that. I did that myself. My freshman year, I was weighed in underweight and did quite well, you know, wrestled up a weight. And, mm-hmm. and there was no expectations. Everyone goes, oh, you know, he's just a freshman. He's given up, you know, two weight classes or whatever. And it gave instance. So that kind of frees you. And you get to go out there and just wrestle wide open because you're not supposed to technically win anyway. Right. So,
sure.
You know, so there can be something kind of fun about that for Gabe, if that's the direction they go, which it seems to me that would probably be, from what I know, maybe the best route to go. As far as saving Ludington for the next 4 years, nothing's promised with NIL. You know, you can say that, but then sure enough, if you're not reaching the level you need to be, coaches not only are going to, they have to go out and find someone. And so they'll NIL or go recruit someone that
transfer portal.
Thank you. The portal.
Yeah.
Find someone. So anyway, you know, so again, so there's that side of it too for Ludington.
Oh yeah. I mean, exactly. The atmosphere in college sports now. Yeah. You can't necessarily bank on somebody being there the following year.
Right.
You know, personally, I'd see Ludington using up his free competition dates. You know, you do have kind of a, not a murderer's row, but you've got a tough schedule here. You know, when you've got Penn State, you've got at Nebraska, you bring in Minnesota, then you're at Ohio State in the next 4 weeks. So, you know, you've got Oklahoma State after the Big Ten season is over before you get to the Big Ten tournament. So you're going to have a really tough schedule. You get him a few dates and you get some matches for Arnold. So, you know, he can factor in, you know, for those automatic spots in the postseason, get him enough competitions to register there at the end, still get Ludington some experience. Not taking anything away from Brody Sampson, but he's probably, you know, somebody to fill in if there's an extra day in there, you know, like with Purdue or something like that. But I see it being Ludington getting his fill and then Arnold being the guy. And credit to Gabe. He has seemed to be team first.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you see him even at the Wisconsin duel. He was cheering on teammates and encouraging them from the bench. You know, even though he wasn't wrestling, he wasn't, he didn't weigh in. And, you know, we saw what he's done wrestling in 97 and 74 at the Soldier Salute and everything else, filling in at 84. So, kudos to him. And, you know, hopefully that's something that's going to be a positive experience for him here, assuming he ends up being the guy at 97 the rest of the, for the significant portion of the second half if Ludington redshirts.
Right. And my last comment on the situation is that silence can sometimes be interpreted as guilt, you know, from either side. So, sure. And that's why I would hope that they would come out and speak as best they can. Obviously the coach is in a different situation than the athlete, that, you know, he's got a little bit more to lose maybe than the others, but that if you don't speak about it, sometimes, you know, your fan base can start going south on you.
And remember too, coaches have bosses,
right?
And yeah. Sometimes bosses say, you're not commenting on that. You're not, you know,
yep.
this is what we're saying. And that's it.
Could be. Yeah. And not only bosses within the university, but like you had mentioned before, and I had alluded to those contributors, they are kind of bosses anymore, which, you know,
can be, they very well can be.
So
that's the thing. It's just, if I can really say it, it's a weird situation. It's just ugly. The timing makes it weird. If this was at the end of the season, you know, it would be something that's probably forgotten about a couple weeks after, and then maybe resurfaces when wrestler ends up in another location for the next season or what have you.
Well, the timing might have something to do with the end of the semester so that he doesn't get into the next semester and burn up that, or maybe it's a, you know, I don't want to pay for the classes sort of thing. We forget, you know, that the athlete is paying a bill to go to that school there. So, but he's also getting paid.
True. So we'll see how that, if anything continues to unfold from the situation, we'll address it. We'll follow up on it, provide updates if anything. I just have a feeling that, I don't think any lips are going to be unlocked going forward.
No, I don't think so.
If there are, we'll share it. We'll see what comes out of this for all parties involved. All right, let's kind of move on. The NWCA duels last week, really, really interesting situations. Up there at the Unidome, you and I rolled. They wrestled really well, knocked off number 8 South Dakota State in the D1 bracket. They repeat as NWCA duels champs. Good for Coach Schwab and the Panthers. The one bad news out of that one, heavyweight Wyatt Volker, injured shoulder. Had heard about a week or two earlier that he actually injured it during the end of the Missouri match. Remember, he was trying to secure a technical fall and apparently hurt his shoulder there. He was in a sling at the national duels, and Doug Schwab talked to media that were in attendance there and said he is out for the season. So that's unfortunate. Adam Aronson, though, stepped in, got a big win against Luke Rasmussen, 20th ranked heavyweight for South Dakota State, to seal the dual victory there. And you and I jumps back up to 14th in the dual rankings because of that performance. One of the other big ones, North Central Women.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
One additional thing on that. I want to give kudos to the well, what appears to be a great coaching decision. So the meet before that was against Drexel, and you and I was had secured the meet at the at 97 with a win there by John Gunderson, and so it's 20. It was 22-10 at that point in time. So they forfeited at heavyweight.
Okay.
And in my opinion, they did that to save Aronson for the final. At least it appears that way. Whether they were doing that intentional, and then Aronson pulls the upset on a meet on a match that decided the meet and got him the first place trophy there. So I thought that was really great coaching and deserved.
Good strategy. Yeah, for sure. And yet, any other things from you and I's perspective?
It's pretty neat. You know, it's a for you and I with 10 teams there, split them in two different pools. So they wrestle the pool and then the championship the next day. And so it's pretty neat. It's nice that they're doing that. And hopefully they can draw some more teams. They've got plenty of room in the, well, I don't know if they have plenty of room in the Unidome with all those mats out there, but they can squeeze it in.
Very quickly on the women's side of things, the big one, North Central coming away with a win over Iowa in the semifinals, handing the Iowa women its first loss in program history. The only way they could have done it was pulling out a pin in the final match, and North Central delivered and moved on to the finals, where they I think they beat McKendree for the championship. Congratulations to Joe Norton and the Cardinals. He's somebody I have a lot of respect for there at North Central. I like Joe a lot. He's done great things with that women's program, and big for him. But yeah, Deja Yerby had a fall over JC Fowler. And that was the only way they could pull it out, and they did, 23-21 over Iowa. And then they, like I said, beat McKendree. Iowa bounced back, beat number 4 Grand Valley State 26-15 in the final.
In that meet, KJ, there's a lot of things that went on. I don't know if you noticed it, but Iowa won 6 of the 10 matches, but got pinned in 3 of them and didn't score in any of those 3 matches. So that's
really, which makes the difference.
Right, 5 points to 0 points. Now, on the flip side of that, North Central scored a match point in 5 of the 6 losses. So that's like that's like a pin right there, but you know, putting up 5 points on the board. Sure, Iowa got credit for wins in those matches, but you know, North Central still put a point on the board. And that was against, get this, in those 5 matches, someone put up a point against Kennedy Blades and Kylie Walker and Reese Laramundi. And so, I mean, some of their studs. So, you know, good for North Central for doing that on that back, you know, on the losing side. Yeah. And that's a little bit different in that you can put up points in a losing effort on the scoreboard. So, you know, in the freestyle.
Yeah, and I will say about the Laramundi mat, remember, she's ranked number 2 behind former teammate Bella Mir, who's wrestling for North Central. And Laramundi beat Mir, who's ranked number 1, 8-4. So,
right, good match there.
Yeah, that was.
And then a couple other things. I thought this was interesting. It went both ways, North Central won on tiebreaker at 117 criteria. They 3-3, they scored the last point. And then Iowa at 138 scored. They had it was a 6-6 match, but I forget, the Iowa wrestler had a 4-point move there to secure that with the
what weight was that?
At 138.
Sky Reelin.
Right. So and then like you said, North Central won. Got the pin at heavyweight. You know, they could have gotten a technical foul technically, and then if it got just a decision, then it would have went down to criteria, which who knows what that was. But they left it, didn't leave it to chance, and got the pin and won by 2. So that was kind of neat for the North Central girls, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then on the D3 side of things, Holy surprises Batman. if you had a parlay on North Central Women and Roanoke College coming away with championships, you could have won a pretty penny.
But KJ, if I had said this, Rooney, the maroon-tailed hawk, won a national title, I could have asked you all day long, and you would have never came up with that, with a school that did that. And on top of that,
thought you were pulling my leg that there is actually such a thing.
Exactly, the maroon-tailed hawk—that's their mascot, Rooney. And Roanoke, this is even more impressive, is only the fifth year of their program.
Oh, really?
They started it in 2022.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Kyle's last year. So Nate Yetzer is the coach there. He spent eight previous years at Furman starting that program up, had multiple qualifiers and a national runner-up. And then prior to that, he was at Virginia Tech. And he was an assistant under – who was at Virginia Tech at the time?
What time was he at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, it was after Brands.
Oh, so Kevin Dresser.
Yeah, so Kevin Dresser was assistant for 6 years there. So this guy's not familiar. I mean, he's very familiar with starting and building a program. So that's a good job there. But I like that. 17-year-old Rooney is the maroon-tailed hawk.
Okay. better remember it after a weekend like this, because the thing that's impressive about it is they went through the three team, you know, they beat Wisconsin lacrosse in the quarterfinal. They beat Augsburg in the semis, and then they beat Wartburg. So they didn't just benefit from somebody upsetting a team and, you know, moving on and knocking them off. They went through the big dogs and came away with a title. Right. I think that makes it even more impressive.
Right, six seed beats three seed in the semi quarters, beats the two seed in the semis, and beats the number one seed in the finals. That's quite a run for a fifth year team.
For sure. And you know what makes it such a so noteworthy is the fact that I think everybody knows this event's been dominated by Augsburg and Wartburg. The only team to win it other than those two was Wisconsin lacrosse, winning it once. So the last 24, 25 years, it's pretty much been Augsburg, Wartburg, and only one other team kind of sneaking in there. And now Roanoke, young program, and coming through and winning it like that. So that was huge.
Right, and I don't want to step on our buddy Dave Malachek's toes, but – they did win it when Wartburg and Augsburg were not in attendance because of COVID. Right. Yeah.
You know, some of our other area teams did pretty well as well. Cohen Luther, I thought, wrestled decently.
And so Cohen Loris.
Loris.
Yep. Actually, Luther, not bad either. Cohen 4-2, finished 7th out of 24 teams. Loris was 4-1, and they did beat Co in their run there. So they finished 5th. Luther was 3-2, finished 13th. And then UD also wrestled there as well. So had most of all of our teams in the area were wrestling there. Not bad. And then these teams next compete at the American River Duels in 2 weeks. A lot of them will send their wrestlers to Cornell, who also competed. Cornell also competed at the NWCA. They went 2-2 and finished 19th. But they'll wrestle in the Cliff Keen, Mike Duro Invitational. I think a lot of teams don't send their varsity to that. It's a real competitive tournament for those non-varsity wrestlers. So okay. I like that tournament.
All right. I just want to follow up on the Luther. Obviously, Wartburg handled them when they wrestled, but their only other loss was the number 9 Central, and it was 22-19. For Luther, Clayton McDonough, the top-ranked 165-pounder for the Norris, he had pins in every single match that he had at the NWCA duels, or every win he won by fall. What that did was that gave him 56 career pins, and he surpassed Garrett South, who had 55 pins for Luther from 2002 to 2005.
Wow.
So McDonough now the all-time pins leader at Luther after the NWCA. And they just released the wrestler standings. It's like the most dominant wrestler standings that the NCAA comes up with. They're starting to disseminate those lists now that a lot of people have matches under their belt and considerable stats. And Clayton McDonough, one of the leaders in D3, I think he's tied for second with 17 pins in Division III right now. So
nice.
Just wanted to throw that in there as well. And want to also congratulate the Wartburg women who won the D3 women's bracket the first year for that one. They won that, beating Simpson in the finals. I think they beat Aurora in the semis. That was closer. They won pretty handily over Simpson. And I think Mackenzie Childers had a win in that championship duel, former Prairie, Cedar Rapids Prairie Prep.
Right. And there were only two American Rivers Conference teams in that tournament out of 16. And it was Wartburg first and Simpson second. So that's pretty good showing by the American Rivers Conference.
For sure. For sure. All right. Any last things we talked a lot, you know, the situation in Iowa City with Dean and the Hawkeyes chewed up a lot of time here this afternoon on this college edition. But any other comments or anything to touch on before we say goodbye in this week's podcast?
Nope, I think we're good.
All right. Well, again, thanks everybody for watching. Make sure to tune in next week when we go over more results and more wrestling topics. As always, we like to finish things off by honoring our late friend Wyatt Schultz and his.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.